What is going on, Sleeper Nation? We're back with another episode, and for today, we're talking rookie quarterbacks. Today, I am with FNT Fantasy, co-author of the Fantasy Football Black Book series and co-host of Faith the Chalk podcast, Derek Brown. Man, how you doing?
Doing good, man. I mean, things are good over at FTN. I'm diving through content, rookies, best ball, all kinds of stuff. So, no, thanks for having me tonight. This is going to be a blast.
And, of course, I'm also with Angelo, a man from whom one name is enough, former NCAA track and field star and now a college tape grinding machine. Man, how are you doing, Angelo?
I'm great, man. I'm great. You know, hearing you drop some of these takes, though, man.
That's what,
man,
I do.
Getting after it, though. But, hey, I like it, man. Thanks for having me on, man. It's always a pleasure.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about some news. A little bit of news came out. None too serious. We're not going to spend too much time on it. We'll also be getting cracking jokes. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about quarterbacks, and specifically rookie quarterbacks. When we're going to start looking at them in a rookie draft. When we're going to take them. Are they even touchable in redraft leagues? And then some, of course, a little bit of prediction here and there. So without further ado, let's head on with some NFL news. All right, so NFL released the 2021 schedule just last week, and it kicks off with the Cowboys against Tampa Bay. Did you guys take a look at the schedule yet? Is there anything you guys are specifically looking at?
I mean, to be honest with you, I've kind of high-level looked at it, but honestly, at this point in the offseason, people start diving into schedule and stuff, and I think it's all noise, dude. Like, I honestly don't care about it in frickin' May, to be perfectly honest with you.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, I like looking at it because I'm a big Niners fan, of course. So, you know, I usually do the daily look at the schedule and I'm like, win, 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 loss, 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 loss. And then, you know, now because the West is extremely competitive, you know, I for safety reasons, marked almost all of them as splits and then, you know, win for mostly other divisions. That's what I do. You know, I'm a pessimist. I usually think negatively and then, you know, that way I can't be disappointed.
I mean, I don't hate it, dude. I understand. I mean, especially you got the fandom going. I mean, I get it. I totally get it.
I mean, Jimmy G, like, I like him a lot. All right. We're going to be talking about some quarterbacks and one of them is going to be replacing. I really like Jimmy G. And, you know, unfortunately, we talked about the injury bug a little bit beforehand. I consider him injury prone. I don't know if you guys consider him injury prone.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of the injury prone narrative. I wouldn't necessarily think that he's injury prone. It's hard to put on a quarterback specifically, especially one that's a statue. But we'll get to it later when we talk about rookies and stuff like that. I don't know how long he's going to actually hold this job. It could be week one or less. So,
yeah, I agree. I'm not a big injury prone guy. I mean, Jimmy G, I think the writing's on the wall. So, it's going to happen sooner or later. I mean, Trey Lance is going to be the guy in San Francisco for what I think is going to be the foreseeable future. So we'll see what happens, but I'm not a big Jimmy G fan in terms of, you know, fantasy in particular. You know, like you said, D, he's a statue. So he's not gonna move around the right. He's not very mobile. Even though he has a ton of weapons at his disposal, there's just something that's not clicking there in San Fran.
He's not a fantasy impact player, but he's a solid actual NFL player. You know, he'll get the team to dub when it needs it. But of course, that's a discussion for a different time. Actually, it's going to be later in this episode. So first round running back, Travis Etienne. Before we go on, I love this part of the season, especially the off season, because this is where we get the off season camp hype. I love this. Like, oh man, this player drank water today. He's hydrated. I'm moving up my draft board two spots just because of it. And this is the type of news we're going to be getting lately. And it starts with him playing wide receiver or lining up in the wide receiver spot throughout OTAs. I'm not looking into it. I don't know if you guys want to deep dive it a little bit more than I am, but I'm not too interested.
I mean, I'm not really interested in the fact that they said he's a wide receiver, but one thing I thought was interesting was Urban Meyer wanted to draft Kadarius Toney first. Ooh. Now he's like, I'm going to settle for Travis Etienne. All right. Ooh. Which is okay. But what's also more baffling is they have a guy named Laviska Shenault Jr. who was literally made for the Percy Harvin role in that offense. And they're going to probably use Etienne in that role, which early on, especially in his career, it doesn't make much sense because he's much better runner than he is receiver. I know he had a ton of receptions at Clemson, but what he does as a route runner, you know, what he does down the field, he doesn't profile as a prolific receiving threat at the NFL level other than a check down or screen option. So it's going to be a really, it's a strange pairing. Like if they would have came out and said, you know what, we're going to have a 1-2 punch with Etienne and James Robinson, then I've been like, okay, that makes a lot of sense because that's going to be a pretty nasty 1-2 punch. I don't know if those guys would be fantasy viable every week, but that's a good 1-2 punch NFL wise. But now they're saying they are legitimately interested in moving Etienne around on a week to week basis and basically playing a Joker type role, which is just brutal. It's like what the Bears tried to do with Tariq Cohen 2 years ago when they moved him to the slot in the first quarter of the season. Didn't make any sense. Like, why are you doing that? Like, but Etienne is a pure runner. Like, that's what it is. So I don't know what they're trying to do in Jacksonville, but Urban Meyer's already getting cute in my opinion.
I think he's drinking his own sauce a little bit too much, man.
Yeah.
It makes no damn sense to me. I mean, for me, with all the news that's coming out of Jacksonville, it makes the only assets that I want to target out of that team being Trevor Lawrence, Marvin Jones, and DJ Chark. Like, it makes me want to, like, just stay away from all the other ones, because all these roles and all this stuff, and you got a head coach that has come out and talked about, okay, we're going to have Etienne's going to be our third down guy. Yeah, okay, sure. You're full of shit. Like, you took him in the first round. He's not going to be your third down guy. Now, what role is he going to play? We don't really know, man. I mean, I'm with Angelo on this, that, like, Etienne, if you look at the box scores and stuff like that, there are a lot of people out there that, like, box score chase and look at all that kind of stuff and to go watch, don't go watch and how this guy was actually used on the field at Clemson. He's not a developed route runner. Like, he's not a guy that you're talking about CMC, CEH, Alvin Kamara, these other guys that are, like, pure, true receiving threats. He's not that. He was used on a ton of checkdowns this year. And part of that was because they didn't have anybody else at Clemson.
Nope.
Justin Ross is out. You're talking about Etienne's, like, competing for targets against Cornell freaking Powell, who people are talking about now because he landed on the Kansas City Chiefs. If he'd have gone to freaking, like, the Texans, nobody give two shits about Cornell Powell. But because he went to the Chiefs, people want to talk about him. But that's the only reason, like, Etienne was competing against him and Amari Rodgers, who were not any bit of a thing when T. Higgins and Justin Ross were there previously. And the whole thing about Etienne's pass game involvement is that, like, if they would have had Ross there, if they would have had another, like, more talented complimentary secondary receiver like they had previously, I don't think you would have seen this type of pass game usage for him in the last season. So I think it's overpuff. With all the news coming out of Jacksonville, and they're talking about they don't know what his role is going to be, or it could be this, or it could be that. And the fact of, like Angela talked about with LaVisca Chenault, that is criminal. It is absolutely so criminal. Considering that, like, LaVisca showed us last year that when he played out of the slot, he was really damn good. And now you have Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, and he's doing all this stuff and saying all these things, and you're just like, man, nah, forget all this. Forget all that noise. Give me Trevor Lawrence. Give me Marvin Jones. Give me DJ Chark. I can believe in their roles because I know what Daryl Bevel likes to do, and I don't want to have to deal with the cuteness of Urban Meyer. And forget all of the rest of that mess for this year.
Yeah, right now I am putting Travis on my do not draft list. But in this week, he's a tight end now. Last week we had Tim Tebow. Today we got the one Popeye's biscuit away from a tight end, Kelvin Benjamin, I should say. I mean, yeah, he's officially signed with the Giants. He's going to take over but actually, I don't even think it will be that hard for him to take over as a starting tight end the way Evan Engram has been playing or dropping everything as of late. But are you guys even interested in him, or is this for the memes?
Nah, we don't spend time on it either.
He'll get cut in camp.
He's 30 years old.
This is all just like Dave Gettleman giving his former boy, like, another chance.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, the off-field stuff for Kelvin Benjamin was brutal. I know he went through a lot of things in his personal life, and I get that. And I don't want to, like, I put Saf out on Twitter, and we've all had our jokes and stuff like that. But as far as, like, there's no way, like, I don't think Tim Tebow walks out of camp as a Jaguar. I don't think that Kelvin Benjamin walks out of camp as a Jaguar. Neither one of them. I mean, or as a Giant. I think that all of this stuff was, it's more press, it's more Gettleman giving Kelvin another, like, shot to get back in the league, or just giving him at least a chance. And Tim Tebow brought to Jacksonville, I think that was all just to bring, cause look, we're all talking about Tebow right now. Every bit of us. We're talking about it on this show. People are talking about it on social media. They're talking about it on talk shows. They're talking about it everywhere. Do you hear anybody sitting here putting a ton of pressure on Trevor Lawrence as the number one pick in the NFL draft? No. You don't hear all of that kind of stuff out there on the airwaves right now. So if Urban Meyer is using like Tim Tebow as a meat shield for it to try to like protect Trevor Lawrence from a ton of pressure right now, I personally think that's where this is going. And that's my analysis on it. So in that sense, Urban probably did something smart, because Trevor needs some time to sit here and get acclimated to the NFL, and the bright lights and being the number one pick in the NFL draft, that's hard enough as it is.
No, yeah, 100% agree. I think the one thing that's interesting is we haven't heard much about the shoulder injury. He couldn't hand off in camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Jaguars brass wants us talking about the shoulder injury. Cause I think you're right. I think a lot of it is a big press thing. You want to kind of deflect, and go somewhere else. But, I think that's something to monitor too. Like, how is Lawrence's shoulder healing? Is he going to be able to push the ball down the field like he was at Clemson? And do it right away. So that's going to be the questions we don't have answers to. I mean, we'll see in the preseason. Cause let's say he doesn't play any preseason games, doesn't take a single preseason snap, then you might know something's wrong because you're going to want to get his feet wet before he's, you know, he jumps in week one.
If he does not,
week three, week four, I mean, depending on what kind of preseason we have.
100%.
If he doesn't play in the preseason, I don't think he starts regular season week one. That'd be a tough ask to just go wet and just go just right in.
I think if he's healthy, he starts, but I don't know if it, you know, the thing is,
he starts. I mean, he's gonna start. I mean, as long as he has a heartbeat and he can walk out on the field, I think he starts.
Yeah, I think it depends on if he's healthy. And I think that's the biggest question right now. That's the thing we don't
really know. Angela, correct me if I'm wrong, it was his non-throwing shoulder, correct?
It was. Okay. So that's what I heard. I don't know if anyone's like really confirmed it.
I don't know if it's verified. The last thing I saw, last reports I saw was non-throwing shoulder, but again, I mean, we don't see Trevor throwing in sleeveless shirts, so we can't sit here and be like, okay, which side is the scar on, my friend?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I mean,
it's interesting, man. I don't know, man. It's interesting to see because, you know, normally, I mean, by this time you would say, hey, you know, because it happened during the season and, you know, Urban Meyer, I remember he came out and said like a 3-month injury, like timetable for recovery, and he can't really hand off right, which is kind of, which is like, okay, but we're not talking about that a lot because you're right. We're talking about Tim Tebow. So
we're talking about Tebow. We're talking about Etienne. We're talking about all these things. We're not talking about Lawrence.
Exactly, man.
It's media shift. That's all this is, dude. I mean, it's smart and I give him credit for it, but that's what I think it all is, dude. Like, we're talking about all this and you don't hear Trevor Lawrence's name in anybody's mouths. Right. We're talking about it here. But where have you heard anybody talk about any kind of concerns or anything else going on with Trevor Lawrence? Nobody. Right. We're talking about Tebow. We're talking about James Robinson. We're talking about Etienne. We're talking about all these other things. We're talking about Urban Meyer. We ain't talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Well, we're going to have to see. Myers has said that he's going to be limiting his reps to make sure he heals properly. But I mean, I don't really know what that means at this point. That's basically we'll see what happens when we get there. So draft night promo place. Canton, Ohio, where I'd like to be. I mean, hey, the Hall of Fame's there. It's going to be Saturday, August 14th, 4 p.m. day, right before the Fantasy Football Expo. It's going to be $30 per ticket. Gets you an entry to the live draft, exclusive t-shirt, and a chance to win some great prizes, including some signed memorabilia. I said that right, boys. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I mean, I won't be the one signing it because, I mean, who wants my trash? It's literally dog water. But of course, if you guys want to, more info, it's going to be draftnightout.com, brought to you by SleeperWire, of course, us, Eat Sleep Fantasy, Draft Party USA, and prestigious sports memorabilia. All right. Before we start talking about quarterbacks, I want to kind of put you guys a little bit on the spot. And a lot of people are going to be going through the draft, especially the rookie draft lately. And I want to be able to put people on a spot and have a little conversation on who you're going to pick here and why you're going to do it. Explain yourself. So you guys are pick 108 in a rookie draft, have full point PPR, one QB league. All right. So that's your spot, and you have a flexible team where you have running backs, you got wide receivers, you got a solid quarterback. You can kind of free will whatever you want here in this spot. And I'm going to list out the draft, and pick 101 is going to be Najee Harris, Ja'Marr Chase, and then after that, Jalen Waddle, Kyle Pitts, Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, Devontae Smith. All right, so those are the first seven picks. You're 108. Derek Brown, who are you taking and why?
So for me, this is a slam dunk. I'm going to go with my wide receiver 2 on the board. He's in the same tier, and I will not fault anybody for going with the other wide receiver that I have in the same tier as him. I'm going to go Rashad Bateman, man. I know Devontae Smith is already off the board, but he's in the same tier for me. They're my wide receiver 2 and 3, and I know you're about to throw some hate at me, so I'm prepared for it. The gloves are off. I'm ready to fight you on this. Bateman is that damn dude, man. The funny thing about social media and Twitter is that if you throw out anything talking about historical outliers and how this can change and stuff like that, if you talk about Kyle Pitts, and you talk about historical outliers and how he's going to be a stud and legendary and Hall of Fame from week one on, you're in the cool club. Like, everybody wants to sit there and shake your hand, high five you, give you a hug. You talk about how Lamar Jackson could throw the damn ball more after 2 years of historical low passing attempts. Historical low passing attempts. Everybody's like, no, that will never happen. No, Greg Roman's never done that. No, 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 no. Come on, man. Like, so really people want to cherry pick and choose their outliers? That's a really difficult and dangerous game to play, man. I'm going to side with talent. I'm going to side with target share. I'm going to go over Rashad Bateman here as my pick. He is my wide receiver two before. Well, he was my wide receiver three before the draft. He is my wide receiver two, and he hopped Devonta Smith after the draft. I love both of them. Don't take this as shade for Devonta. Love Bateman. Give me him here.
I've said it multiple times, and we said it before the air. I cannot imagine myself taking a Baltimore Ravens wide receiver. I mean, they just don't pass enough for me to comfortably sit there and go, yeah, he's going to get his fantasy points. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his touches. He's going to get his touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They have a Mark Andrews. You know, he's going to get his touches. He's going to get his touchdowns in the red zone. They have the strong running game. You know, they're going to get the touches. You know, they're going to get the red zone looks. Lamar Jackson, he's going to get his own touches. He's going to get his own red zone runs. It's difficult. They just signed Sammy Watkins. Hollywood Brown, he was their deep threat pusher. And honestly, I'm not interested taking him in any redraft league or even acquiring him in any dynasty league. It's hard for me to say he's different.
Marquise Brown got 100 targets. Are we really going to sit here and say that Rashad Bateman is not more talented than Marquise Brown?
There's targets and there's fantasy production. There's targets and there's like fantasy production. They're different categories.
Okay. And Greg Roman has supported multiple wide receivers in multiple iterations of his offense that have gotten 25 to 27% target shares. Sammy Watkins, Michael Crabtree got a 22% target share. Anquan Boldin went above 25%. Even if Lamar throws the damn ball 400 times, if he gets a 25% target share, which we all talked about last year, Marquise Brown, like, you kept playing him in DFS every single freaking week, and you believed in him because his target share in this offense was so ridiculously insane that he owns the offense outside of Mark Andrews. So why does everybody think that Rashad Bateman, who is a better damn wide receiver than Marquise Brown, up, down, sideways, any way you slice it, why do we all think that Rashad Bateman can't get 100 targets if he catches, like, if his catch percentage is 65%, 60%? He can't catch 60 balls in his first year. You want to play out the math, yards per reception. He gets over 850 in his rookie season, close to 900, 6 to 7 touchdowns. How are we not talking about that as a good thing in fantasy? Like, I understand, like, fantasy in real life, but Marquise Brown was catching touchdown after touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and he missed a ton of touchdowns on the season last year. And again, everybody's willing to sit here and push their chips to the middle about other players being historical outliers from week one. But everybody's like, okay, but I want to balk and I want to sit here and pull everything back when it's historical outlier is going to repeat for a third freaking season in a row. We're all willing to sit here and say, okay, that's definitely going to happen. That's definitely going to happen. Nothing could change there. Like, so easily. And I'm just not there. I'm not there, man.
So Marquise Brown had exactly 100 targets last year, followed by Mark Andrews with the 88. And then you get the significant drop off of Willie Snead at 48 targets. And now I'm not saying Willie Snead is exactly talented and phenomenal. I think, or at least my fear is Marquise Brown gets 75 targets and then Bateman gets Willie Snead's 48 targets. And then he ends up maybe with 75 targets total. And they end up splitting.
Or they throw because a trio of wide receivers of Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, and Marquise Hollywood Brown are better than any of that trash they rolled out last year.
100%.
Possibly. Yes. Crazy. I know.
Baltimore is a running team. And their philosophy is running the ball.
Still be a running team. I'm not saying Baltimore is going to lead the damn league in passing rate. I'm not saying that. But if they come up to like 20th, 23rd, 24th, you're talking about literally another 70 to 80 targets in this passing offense. Yeah.
No, man, you're.
That's not being accounted for.
No, it's one of those things. I think it's a big, you know, it's just another narrative because, you know, I did the, like I did the ecosystem rankings this year, looking at, you know, basically what these NFL teams did last year in terms of, for quarterbacks, is points per game, red zone scoring opportunities, pass attempts, and sacks allowed. Baltimore is a tier two ecosystem for quarterbacks. Let's go to wide receiver. Baltimore is a tier two ecosystem for wide receivers, ranking 18. And we're talking about that as bad. And we're talking about it. We're talking about a team that we think we can improve so much in that fast. They drafted two prolific outside receivers, in my opinion, in terms of what they can do. Bateman and Tyone Wallace is probably the future of that offense too. Those three receivers in Bateman, Wallace, and Brown are going to make up a lot more opportunities for Lamar Jackson to throw the football. You combine that with Mark Andrews, you combine that with the ascension of J.K. Dobbins, and you have yourself a more prolific NFL offense. That's what we're looking at opportunity. They're going to have more opportunities to score the ball. That's what we want, right? They're going to be in the red zone more. They protect Lamar Jackson. They're going to do some really good things. And I think I'm fading Rashad Bateman because of his team. It's ridiculous. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. You don't fade those. Those don't grow on trees. You take them. And people are like, well, I'm going to take, you know, Elijah Moore, or I'm going to take some of these guys over him. Why would you do that? You got to take the higher end talent. You got to take the more productive receiver. You take Rashad Bateman at that 108 spot, because we're talking about Baltimore as the 16th ranked offense ecosystem wise for quarterbacks. We thought they'd be what, 30th? Bro, they can ascend into tier one, top 12, and be a much better NFL offense and a much better fantasy option for receivers.
Now, if you're, this is a little bit hypothetical. If you are a Lamar Jackson owner, do you even want better weapons? Like, I'd rather Lamar Jackson run the ball more consistently than pass it.
He's still going to run.
For the longevity of his career, yeah, I want him to throw. It's like saying, do you want Josh Allen to get the ball on the goal line every play? No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
If I own Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He's still going to run. If Lamar doesn't run for 1,000 yards, if he runs for 600, that's still amazing. So we're talking about, like, duplicity, and he's like, his fantasy production. It's like, dude, like, he can't run around like that way when he's 32 years old, and you want him to still be in the league when he's 32.
You gotta start, yeah. Like, you gotta have development at some point. Lamar Jackson has to develop into a higher end passer.
He was a good passer in college, man.
Like, he wasn't bad.
You saw him.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
You saw him in college go through progressions. He was quiet in the pocket. It wasn't his first inclination to take off running. Right. And in the NFL, I mean, come on, man. Like, what kind of conversation are we having here? When he had Willie freaking Snead, Miles Boykin, who I did love, I'm going to own my L there because he's an athletic freak, okay? I thought he could translate and he couldn't separate. Okay, fine. I'll take my L there. But when he had Willie Snead, Miles Boykin, Devin Duvernay, who people were like over their skis on because he can run fast, and you have Marquise Brown as your ex, I'm sorry, dude. Like, Marquise Brown is not your ex. He was never going to be your ex. He was a reach of the draft. You were trying to fill a need, and you filled it poorly. Now they understood that after watching it. They saw it play out for two seasons, and they're like, all right, this dude is poorly, like, cast in this role. That's why they got Bateman. Because they're like, Marquise is not a one. He's not an ex. Bateman is, and if anybody wants to come at me, you lead off your argument with talking about Bateman, and your first sentence out of your mouth to me is, look at his 2020, get out of here. There's the door, don't let it hit you on the way out, because I don't even want to talk about his 2020 tape. Dude had COVID, Tanner Morgan is a trash quarterback, he played a terrible position, the offense overall was garbage, and he looked like a shell of himself compared to the player that we saw in 2018 and 2019. So I don't even want to talk about the 2020. Toss that in the trash. Bateman is that damn dude, and he's going to show people this year.
So one final closing. Well, Angelo, are you taking Rashad Bateman too? Or no, do you have somebody else?
No, 100%. I don't think it's even close. At this stage in the draft.
Oh, yes!
At this stage in the draft, who are you taking?
So I'm taking Elijah Moore.
You don't have any more guys with legitimate Pro Bowl upside, in my opinion.
Well,
I would say Rondale Moore over Elijah Moore if we're talking upside. I like Elijah Moore, but I'm not taking him at 108, You know what I'm saying?
If Bateman falls to 108, he's a top five player for me. I'm licking my chops. Like, I can't press draft fast enough.
100%.
I like Elijah Moore to be.
Why Elijah Moore? Tell me that, because I got to hear this case.
Because he has less competition, in my opinion, around him in a wide receiver position. I think he can go in and be an immediate week one impact. And I can put him on my fantasy roster and actually expect fantasy points to be accumulated by him a little bit more than I think.
Rondo. Okay, but there's someone who plays his position on the roster.
Jameson Crowder is still there, you know that, right?
I don't expect him to be there week one. That
but
is
he's
my
still
person.
There right now.
He's still there week one, but I do not expect him to be there.
Okay. But Denzel Mims is a better athlete than him. How come he can't be the number one?
Oh, I mean, that's all hypothetical. I mean, why can't Sammy Watkins be the number one?
Corey Davis?
Because Sammy Watkins is total trash.
They didn't sign Corey Davis for nothing either.
Corey Davis is, I mean, I'm not even worried about Corey Davis.
Then why'd they sign him?
Death just in case Elijah doesn't happen to turn out.
They didn't sign that man for the millions.
Denzel Mims has pretty much the same draft capital as Elijah Moore did last year. So tell me why Mims can't be the number one and Elijah Moore is left holding the bag as the number two.
The same way they took Travis Etienne, other than having James Robinson. New regime, new system, and new plan. It's unfortunately,
James
it's what they do.
James Robinson's UDFA. It's a very different conversation.
Yeah, really. But player talent would mean he deserves his running back one role spot. Well, what, new regime says otherwise.
I don't know about that, though, because you look at, I mean, this is a guy who had, 1,400 total yards? Like, it's not like he's untalented. He should have been a Pro Bowler. He should have made the Pro
draft
Bowl
capital,
over,
baby.
He
should have
made the Pro Bowl over, you know, over Josh Jacobs. But draft capital is huge. You're talking about Rashad Bateman, who has first round draft. Huge. Big deal. That's a big deal, right? You know, if they loved Elijah Moore, why didn't they spend the first round pick on?
Hold on. I feel like we're burying the lead here. How in the hell are we talking about Elijah Moore being the pick and not Terrace Marshall? Can we talk about that for a second?
There's just too much burying him from becoming a starting receiver. They just have so many weapons down there in Carolina.
What?
Like when I look when I look at my wide receiver, I'm like, who can I get an immediate impact for? That's why in my 108 last year's draft, I was taking Brandon Ayuk. No way he was supposed to go there. He was supposed to go late first round to early second round. I was taking him because one, I mean, a little bit because I'm a Niners fan. Of course I want him. Two, he had immediate week one impact potential. And that's something I want on my fantasy rosters. What can you do for me right away? And if you're going to sit there and just take a roster spot for 2 or 3 years, and I hope he becomes a potential, then you're wasting a roster spot. I want immediate potential.
But I think you got it. You have to get talent because then you miss out on guys like AJ Brown.
He's in the NFL. He's talented.
What? Yeah, but let's talk about Let's rewind this for a second. Let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. You talk about Brandon Ayuk, and everyone wants to take the victory laps on Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk fell into like the perfect storm scenario last year.
Yeah, but
he fell into the perfect storm scenario last year as being the only damn man left standing. Debo was out. Kittle was gone. He had a 30% target share because there was nobody else left. He was competing for targets with freaking Kendrick Bourne. So everybody wants to, and I've seen it out on Twitter. People want to, victory lap, oh, I got Brandon Ayuk late in drafts and stuff. And I was like, okay, so when you drafted Brandon Ayuk, were you projecting an injury for Debo and George Kittle whenever you saw this 30% target share coming through in your mind's eye? Because if you did, kudos, because you need to go be playing the lottery and not fantasy football. And I think that people need to be selling Ayuk right now and not holding him. Because that 30% target share, it ain't coming back, dude. It ain't coming back.
Yes,
we saw last year in a small sample size, George Kittle's still the one there.
He's still the one, but you also have to remember, who was the quarterback for the Niners when all that was happening? So, I mean, if you put Jimmy Garoppolo, a better quarterback, I would expect more opportunities.
Shanahan's not going to throw the ball, dude. I hate to tell you this. Those passing attempts are capped. You talk about Baltimore? Nobody talks about San Francisco. Those passing attempts are hard capped. You have a coach that over the last 3 years has finished 29th, 16th, and 20th in passing attempts.
No,
we're talking
about
Baltimore here, man.
You're not wrong.
San Francisco don't want to throw.
You're really not. They don't want to throw, but they're a whole lot more efficient.
It's funny. Well, it's funny you mentioned that part because, you know, for the ecosystem rankings, you know where the receivers are and what tier They're a tier three ecosystem for wide receivers, 31st out of 32nd.
In San Fran?
Yeah, that tells you. You want to, I mean, especially in the near term, you want to avoid those. Because that tells you a couple things. Either they're really run heavy or they're very tight end heavy offense. And if you bring in Trey Lance, lots of read option, lots of zone read. Lots of
passing
draw.
Attempts ain't going
it
up,
is,
man.
It's the passing attempts are going to go down. And that receiver spot, I mean, you're talking about tier three ecosystem for wide receivers. That's not going to change overnight.
No, absolutely not. We don't want it to change. I mean,
if you love Brandon Ayuk, you want it to change.
But so what I'm saying is, like, if you have a guy in that ecosystem, you got to look at two things. Is that ecosystem going to improve for that position? The answer is no. Then you sell. That's it. As simple as that, man. I mean,
the perfect storm that happened for him last year ain't coming back.
Exactly.
As long as George Kittle and Debo are on the field, which we're not projecting injuries because we've talked about, at least Angela and I've talked about, we don't believe in injury prone narratives here. I just can't, man. Like, I would be absolutely moving Brandon Ayuk if I could in Dynasty right now. Like, if people are lower, like, dude, if you could give me the one for one, like, move Brandon Ayuk and get T. Higgins, give me that smoke. All day, baby.
You would rather have T. Higgins over Ayuk?
Hell yes.
Oh, the only reason why I would do that.
Not even close, dude.
The one reason I would do that is, divisional reasons is because I think the T. Higgins division is a lot weaker than Brandon Ayuk's division. Other than that, I believe in volume. The Shanahan offense.
No, yeah, man. I mean, it's passing
it's,
volume.
It's going to be passing
volume.
You know what's funny? Angela,
what tier is Cincinnati in?
Let's hear it. Oh, God.
I need to hear it. I need this in my life.
Tier 1. Team 11. Team 11. 11. They're 11.
Yes.
They're 11.
Yes. Yes.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, when I put these together, it was literally just to compile all this information and say, okay, what do these spots do for these position groups? And so we can kind of predict basically buy and sell, buy, sell, holds. I mean, right now, it is telling you to buy the hell out of T. Higgins stock. Like, you want to buy T. Higgins stock because you're going to get an offensive environment that's going to improve exponentially. So that's, I mean, a tier one ecosystem for wide receivers is about as good as it gets. I mean, if you're in the top 12, you want that over a tier three ecosystem, which is 31st out of 32nd. That's a 20 team difference. So
Cincinnati,
like, huge.
With Joe Burrow under center last year, was first in the NFL in neutral script passing rate. There is plenty of volume.
They want
Tyler Boyd is not young, dude. They can get out of his contract after this year.
Yeah.
They can cut him and save money against the cap. Dude's what, 28? I think off the top of my head.
Yeah.
After this year, Tyler Boyd's gone. Like, you need to be selling him off for a ham sandwich right now in Dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, in season, you need to be trying to get yourself a late second if you can.
Yeah.
And get out. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Gone.
He's actually 26.
Buy the hell out of T. Higgins.
He's 26. T. Higgins is 22. It's a 4-year difference. It's not that much. That's tough. All right. I mean, I see your guys' point, but it's also a little bit tough for me to justify that. But all right. So we're already deep into this and we haven't even gotten to the main topic. So I'm going to ask just one more quick question and then we're going to go to the main topic.
We're already over 45 minutes. I told you this was going to happen, dude.
Oh, God. Oh,
you
my
wanted
God.
This smoke. You started
I apparently
all this
did.
Before a show.
I apparently did.
This was
did.
Not going to be 45 minutes. There's no way.
I asked for the smoke and I took a deep inhale. All right. So we talked about who I want. Who do you guys don't want? Just one quick name. Quick explanation, and then we'll move on. Not a half an hour reason.
Out of rookie drafts right now?
Yeah.
And we'll get into him later in this conversation. I have Zach Wilson as being outside. Like, he is probably my QB3, but he is a very, very large tier gap away from the top two guys. I will not reach for Zach Wilson. I don't really want him. I will take a lot of these positional players over him in Superflex. I think the hype is vastly overblown on him. My worry is that Zach Wilson is the next Mitch Trubisky, just in New York.
That's tough.
Yeah, I agree.
Is it?
I agree with you, though. I'm not a, I see a lot of Jay Cutler, which is good and bad. But I'm kind of in that same vein with Wilson, but I'd say the two guys that I'm not drafting at current, like, cost of their stock would be, Travis Etienne and Jalen Waddle. I just don't see a three-level alpha target share role for Jalen Waddle, because he is, for me, just evaluating the Alabama offense a ton because of Harris and Smith and Mac Jones, he was not the guy. Like, if you watch those games, Devontae Smith, he is the focal point of that whole entire offense. He makes that offense go. I don't think that Jalen Waddle is that type of player. I think it is more so a DeSean Jackson type, which is still, DeSean Jackson had like 120 targets. I think the cap he had in his whole career was 130, which is crazy, right? That's a lot more than people probably think, but I think he's that type of player in terms of he has a really big third level role. And I think he's going to get some, you know, first and second level touches, but it's just, I don't know if he's going to be the, you know, people say Tyreek Hill. Man, Tyreek Hill's an Olympic level sprinter who has transformed into this megastar football player, which is very, very hard to do. Jalen Waddle's a special player with the ball in his hands. I think he's very much like a Devin Hester type impact as a punt returner and a kick returner. But for me, man, I'm not a huge fan of drafting a guy like Waddle over Smith or over Bateman, or you can make a case for Marshall. That's kind of where it gets a little hairier. But for me, man, I would take Bateman over Jalen Waddle.
Angela, I want to toss something out here into this, and this is not on the show notes. This is not anything else. My ceiling comp for Jalen Waddle, and the reason that I take Terrace Marshall over him, in rookie drafts, my rankings, what have you, my ceiling comp for Jalen Waddle was Tyler Lockett, because I see them winning in similar ways, sure, by efficiency. Yeah. All different levels of the field. And I'm with you, man. Like, you're speaking my love language here. Like, I like Jalen Waddle, but I don't see him as being a high volume target. I see him as being, if you expect him to reach these upper echelons of fantasy production, it's going to be based off of efficiency, not target volume. So that's why I feel like you're hoping for Tyler Lockett. That's the way I viewed him walking into the NFL.
Right. 100%.
Oof. Ah, man. All this talk. God. All right. So me personally, I'm fading Travis Etienne. Like, I don't want anybody in Jacksonville. I think it's fair, simple. Me personally, I like, his name is completely alluding to me, Zach Wilson. I mean, they stole Shanahan's prodigy on both offensive and defensive side of the football over there in New York for the Jets. I think they succeed offensively with whoever's the quarterback and whoever's the receivers there.
I think it's going to take a bit. That's one thing I don't think people are accounting for right now is, man, like, I'll go back to it again. Dude, Jets 31st ranked ecosystem for quarterbacks.
That's changing.
Is it changing in
who is the head coach?
Year?
Who is the head coach?
26th ranked ecosystem for running backs in the same. 26 for receivers. Back. What I'm saying is, like, is this not going to change in 1 year. This is going to take a bit. I mean, are people going to be patient enough to let this thing play out? I'm not a big fan of Zach Wilson in general, over some of these guys. I mean, Fields, Lance, Lawrence, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the question is, if we taken, you know, we taken him over Jones? That's the question.
Yes.
You take the upside, or you take the safer prospect?
I'm taking
that's
upside.
The question. But that's the thing is, there is a lot that has gone wrong in terms of the environment they've built. They're trying to rectify some things. Saleh's brought in some good dudes, but this will take time. Is he going to be given the time that he needs to develop as a quarterback? And we saw what happened with the Bears and Mitch Trubisky. It is the same thing. Like, I mean, I'm a Chicago Bears fan, but you know, it is what it is. Sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. You don't get what you think you don't get what you think you paid for. So,
but first year with Nagy Mitch and the rest of career Mitch has been a very, very different. Incredibly different beast. It's like
wild.
Mitch got hit a few times and he was like, shit, no, I ain't running, man. And it's like, well, if you ain't running, you're going to suck because you can't sit there and win defense.
After the shoulder injury, I mean,
he fell apart.
Well, yeah, defenses stopped respecting his legs when Mitch was like,
yep,
I'm not running anymore.
Yep. Then he got tentative too when he was running too. He was like, forget this. I ain't doing it anymore.
Everything. There's a play in the Lions game when he was literally, if he just ran straight, took contact first down, he ran straight out of bounds.
Yeah.
I was like,
he was like, nah, I go sideways.
Exactly.
With this. Like,
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. That's a big
I blame him. Shit.
I don't blame him.
Oh, I blame him. Yes.
That's a big guy.
Bro, he's a big guy.
If you don't play scared, you don't need to be playing, man.
No way.
That's how you get hurt, dude, playing tentative.
Well, you're a 215-pound plus NFL quarterback, man. You just take that thing. Come on.
That's any sport, man. Like, I tell my kids when, like, they go out and I'm coaching them on baseball, I'm like, if you're scared of the ball, ball's going to find you, man. You scared of a 250-pound running back or linebacker running at your ass? He's gonna find you and he's gonna light you up, man. No, you can't play.
Not if you run out of bounds.
Yeah, and that's why you don't have a starting job anymore. Enjoy backup play, my friend.
I don't know, man. There's something about Zach Wilson. I'm just not.
Dude, have you seen all these interviews? Like,
dude, the interviews are swagger, dude. With him, though.
All this like headband swagger and shit like that. Like, what do you like? Like, he ain't got no swagger, dude. Like, he's like in his interviews and he's like all tentative. He looks like he's about to give an address.
I just don't know. How is he going to,
junior high school, like assembly?
How is he going to command the respect of his organization, of his offense, of his city? Like, that's the thing for me. Like, I want to see this. Like, I want to see him do this.
He's gonna throw dots.
I don't know if he can throw. Well, he gets hit in the face a couple times. Like, he's not throwing dots. That's what I want to see,
he
man.
He didn't get hit
know.
At BYU, man. And the only other thing I could say about Zach Wilson, I mean, like, my whole thing about him is that, like, people talk about all this off-platform, all these different things that he did. You don't see that swagger in his demeanor. You don't see that swagger in the way that he carries himself. You don't see that swagger, like, he was not great outside of that last year at BYU. He was not a good collegiate quarterback. You look at him under pressure the two previous seasons, 70 passer rating, below 50 passer rating. Dude was hot garbage. Like, outside thirst, he was not good.
No, you're not wrong. It's funny because I was listening to the, like an interview, with the Coastal Carolina, like defensive coordinator, and they were talking about, you know, who is the best player you face this year? Hands down, like, oh, Malik Willis, Liberty. What? Zach Wilson?
Not the number two pick in the draft? Not him? No. Oh,
The defensive coordinator's like, yeah, man, Malik Willis eviscerated us. Like, he ran all over us. He did whatever he wanted. Kid's a player. No mention of Zach Wilson. Also, Malik Willis is going to be the truth, in my opinion. If you're out there listening for your Devy leagues, he can ball. Like, dude's a baller. But I mean, still, like, you're talking about this guy, like, Malik Willis normally knows who this guy is. And we're talking about the number two pick in the NFL draft. And people are saying, no, not him. That's a kind of for me.
He shouldn't have been the number two pick.
Is he gonna scare NFL defenses? Trey Lance is, Justin Fields is, Trevor Lawrence is, Zach Wilson is not, at least right now. And that's where I'm coming from. I just don't think he's not that dude right now. I don't know if he'll overcome that dude, but man, it's a long road, man.
They're gonna have to protect him in that scheme. They're gonna have to make some easy things for him.
They're not
protecting
anything right now. So we gotta, it's gonna be a long road, I think, in New York, man. I mean,
have to get remade, man. Like, this whole gunslinger, like, sit back there and throw it into double coverage. Bro, this ain't BYU. You're gonna see tighter windows. You're gonna see a faster game. You're gonna see a rushers in your face considering the Jets offensive line currently. It's gonna be a whole different ball game. And after he gets smacked in the face a few times and he throws two or three picks in week one, week two, we're gonna see what Zach Wilson is made of, man. I mean, look, like, the kid's got talent. I don't wanna sit here and just shit on him, but
diarrhea all over him.
I mean, look, dude, but here's the other side of the coin. You don't hear all of this about Zach Wilson.
Yeah, man.
You hear everybody pulling out the toilet paper for Justin Fields and being like, he can't do this. I heard out on Twitter today he was a checkdown artist, and I'm like, what are y'all talking about, man? No! But like, Zach Wilson, everybody's like, oh, off platform, oh, Patrick Mahomes, oh, he can make those throws, and I'm like, no! What are y'all watching, man? Y'all watching highlight reels? Because y'all are not watching full game tape, and you sure as hell ain't looking at the numbers on this kid.
But luckily, he has Elijah Moore to throw it to, who, oh, like I said, I'm just going to be waiting.
The back of Jameson Crowder.
Hey, I'm just going to be waiting. Baby. I'm just going to be waiting, and I'm going to, right, a year from now, I'm going to be posting the Salt Bay for you guys right here. I'm going to be adding you guys on Twitter.
Elijah Moore versus Rashad Bateman. Give me that smoke. I'll take it. Oof. Let's go.
Let me just inhale real fast. All right. So let's talk about some rookie quarterbacks. We already deep dived one of them. Let's deep dive another one. Trevor Lawrence. I mean, we already know he's starting right away. We discussed him a little bit, and I know, that you, Derek Brown, has already said that you're only interested in Trevor Lawrence and DJ Chark and Marvin Jones. So is that dynasty wise? What about redraft? Does that go for the same?
I mean, it's same for me only because of what Meyer's telling us. I mean, how the offense is going to be run, who's going to get targets. Looking at Daryl Bevel's offense previously, I mean, Marvin Jones is going to play the same side alpha role that he's played in Detroit. You know, I mean, that's basically what he's brought in to do what he does. And he's going to teach a scheme to these guys. And so, I mean, for me, that's all the assets that I want in redraft. In dynasty, I had a lot of hope and a lot of belief in Chenault coming into this season. And Urban Meyer has side poo-pooed all of it, man. If you could find a Chenault truther in dynasty right now, I'd probably be trying to get rid of him right now because there's just no, and could he still be good? Yes. Because I think that the talent is definitively there, man. My problem is that Urban Meyer, is he going to get too damn cute with all this shit? And that's my worry now. Like, we can't assume rational coaching, and for all the things that Urban Meyer's throwing out into the space about, like, things he's going to do, things he wanted, things he might do. You know, I mean, I think DJ Chark is on solid footing. Marvin Jones is on solid footing because they signed them. They brought them in there. Our DJ Chark was already there. We've seen him assume that role on the outside. That's clear. That those are cut and dry for me. But Chenault, I'd be trying to get rid of him in Dynasty if I possibly could. ETN, I'm with Angelo on this one. I think he's overvalued. I talked about him pre-draft. I called him a really sexy version of Tevin Coleman. I'm still there, dude.
I like
it. It's pretty
though.
Sexy.
I like it though.
There are so many parts of ETN's game that get so much praise that are false.
Yeah.
Like his abilities as a pass catcher, people look at the box scores and they say, oh, he must be really good. He caught a shit ton of passes. Not as good as you think he is. And as far as his abilities as a runner, he is a runway running back.
Yeah.
If you put him behind a middling running, like a middling offensive line or a lower offensive line, I want dudes that can create space and can create for themselves. That's not ETN, man. Like, if you want to get really, really sexy and call him Chris Johnson, that's fine. But we saw in his testing numbers, he ain't got that kind of speed, dude. That's the kind of hope you had for him possibly walking into the season. It ain't there, dude. Yeah, so give me Trevor Lawrence, give me DJ Chark, give me Marvin Jones, and I'm out.
All right. Angelo, are you going to agree or disagree here?
Yeah, and that offense in particular. I mean, it's just a weird offense. We just don't know. I think Laviska Shenault Jr. is the most talented player of that bunch. But we just don't know what his role is going to be. He might be the odd man out, which is kind of the crazy thing to say. I hope he's not because I have a ton of Viska shares, super high on him last year, just a really talented player who has durability issues. But man, it's like, what are they doing? We have no idea. So I don't know, man. I mean, I would love for Laviska to have a similar role to what he had last year, but with a higher target share. I think he should be the focal point of that offense. They really want that thing to go, but I don't think we'll ever get that. So, I mean, Urban's going to Urban, man, I guess. So we'll see what happens.
So quick over and under. You guys just say over and under real fast, and we'll move on to the next topic. All right, so over under 30.5 touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence.
Under for me. Barely under.
If he starts all 17,
yes.
That's what we're going off of.
Close.
Slightly
really close
over. Slightly. Yeah. Like pretty close. I mean, you could go either way. It's a coin flip, but slightly over. But because I think he's also going to, around the red zone, I think he'll also run in a couple. So all I think you can go under there because you can kind of, you know, split those hairs. I'll say over, but by a tad.
All right. 15.5.
Running as much. I don't think he'll be running as much year one because of the shoulder. I think they'll be pretty cautious with him in terms of design runs. So, I don't know. I'm going to say over by a bit, yeah.
All right, 15.5 interceptions.
Under.
4,000 passing yards?
Over, barely. 17 games again, yeah, the over.
17 barely. Over.
All right. So, have you guys noticed that I usually give my opinion, and then I'll move on to the next topic right after that, so you guys can't input your opinion? Have you guys noticed that? All right, I'm going to do it again. I think Chenault is a jack of all trades, master of none. I think he's trash. All right. So we talked about Zach Wilson already. We're going to skip over him. We're going to move over to Trey Lance. So, of course, he was pick number 3 for the Niners. And I mean, I personally don't think he even starts a game next year unless it's a blowout game, doesn't mean anything, or Jimmy Garoppolo decides to tear another ACL. But you guys have the floor.
I think this is all going to be dependent upon what Trey Lance does in camp and preseason. I think that if he shows that he's a more complete player than what we're giving him credit for, considering the massive jump at considering competition, I think he's going to see the field. So some of this, I know it sounds like I'm hedging here, but I think this is all dependent on what Trey Lance shows. If he goes out in preseason and he looks like he's lost, like deer in the headlights, he might not start a game, but I'm on the opinion of that he starts 9 games. I'll hedge over the 50%. Ooh,
that's hard. Hedging? What are you, GameStop? Angela?
I think he starts a majority of the season, at least 3/4 of it. I mean, why would you not? I mean, we've seen the Jimmy Garoppolo show.
It's took him to a Super Bowl.
We don't want to watch that show. He didn't do what he did not.
He did not take them to the Super Bowl.
He did not.
He put up 42 against the Saints.
Okay.
He dueled the Rams twice.
That's like saying,
the Seahawks.
That's like saying
Joe Flacco. And then Raheem Mostert ran all over the Packers.
That's
he
like
did
saying,
not take them to
that's
the
like
Super
saying
Bowl.
Joe Flacco and Rex Grossman led the Bears, you know, and the Ravens the Super Bowl. They didn't do that.
Joe Flacco aired it out in the playoffs. What was that? 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions? Perfect pass rate?
Yeah, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl too.
Yes, but
he led his team to a Super Bowl too.
I think if you draft a quarterback that high, you plan to use him right away. History tells us if you're drafting a quarterback in round one, especially in the top 10, he is going to start a vast majority of his rookie year.
Well, Shanahan already has the pre-built offense. Like, what did he do with RG3?
This is a perfect fit for Lance and his capabilities too. I mean, you have a strong foundational running scheme. You
make
have
it
a
easy.
Good, yeah. You make it easy for him. You have George Kittle. You have Ayuk. You have Deebo Samuel. I mean, you have guys everywhere that can produce, and you have Raheem Mostert and Trey Sermon. No one's talking about Raheem Mostert. I mean, he's one of those underappreciated running backs in that scheme, absolutely flourishes. So I'm excited to see what they do, man, especially the running stuff. Trey Lance is a phenomenal athlete. Doesn't get enough credit for how good he is as a runner. So I'm pumped to see what he does, but I think he starts 3/4 or more of the season for sure.
Fun fact, history has shown over the past, I think, 4 years, every single time a team has traded up for a quarterback, he's been absolute trash. Last one, I think, is, well, Jordan Love, technically, and he hasn't played yet, so the jury's still out on him. And then I think before that was Michael Trubisky. And I mean, they only traded up one spot in theory, but I guess the stat still holds. So, over and under 3 games played, you guys already said he plays a majority of the season. So
way
course,
over. Yeah.
Now it's good there. So he'll average in those games 215.5 yards per game.
Total or passing?
Passing.
I'll go over. I mean,
okay.
I saw that slightly, cause that's another one that's a good number because
I'll go under.
He's going to run a lot. I think we're going to see a very close season, I think, to what we saw at the end of the year for Jalen Hurts in terms of split wise. Jalen Hurts ran a lot. And I think that's what we're kind of going to see. Obviously better offense, better system. But I think that's what we're kind of see numbers wise. I think he might throw a decent amount of picks, even though he's acclimated to the NFL game. He hasn't played that much either in the past couple of years, because of COVID. He's had one game last year. So I think it's going to take him a little bit to acclimate, but I think he's going to be I think the dude's going to be a star, man. He's got a ton of good qualities.
I'm going to go under. If they're able to run the ball and they have healthy enough running backs to do so, I'd actually put him on like 190 a game.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll never have a shortage for running backs. I mean, they just drafted 2. They already had 4 on the roster. They stopped Jamichael Hasley from last year.
Smart.
They got running backs.
Sounds like smart moves to me.
Yeah, I would agree. Not for the fantasy lineup, though. That makes me sad. You know, there's no real definite RB1. Raheem Mostert is the closest version, but he's not a comfortable plug and play, sit and forget type player, in my opinion.
Okay.
All right. So 42.5 rushing yards for Trey Lance. So I think an over is pretty safe for this.
I think so, especially in his rookie year. Yeah, I think over for sure. Make him comfortable.
Over. All right, so stick him closer to 60 is a good line.
Okay, so Dynasty, we didn't really talk about him too much. Where's his ADP? Where would you guys take him?
Superflex?
One quarterback. Superflex changes everything too much.
I don't know. I mean, go ahead, yeah. D.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead, Angelo. Sorry, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably say early second round. I think that's fair.
I'd say the turn. Depending on how you are. And if you look at these, I always look at it one quarterback, like these Konami guys.
Yes. 1000%.
If you look at them as being game changers, then into the first round, totally fine with it. Like my one quarterback leagues previous years, I was taking Kyler. That was totally fine. Other quarterbacks, I'm fine with that. If you think that they are going to provide your team a leg up, or they could be that type of dude, into the first round, like 111, 112 is fine for me.
So what about a super flex? I mean, I take them whenever I can.
They're super the flex. Top three picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
top,
it's
top two at least. I'll say that.
No, I think in a super flex draft, I mean, obviously you have Lawrence. And then I think the 102 is Fields, but then I think, you know, you take Chase at, I think Chase is a better talent.
Okay.
Than Lance is. Then I think if you're entitled in premium, you consider a guy like Kyle Pitts. Even in super flex, Kyle Pitts is an interesting, like, what do you do with, you know, Pitts, Lance, those type of guys, Najee Harris. I think there's a conversation for all those three guys you can toss in. But I think you're taking Lance anywhere from 103 to 105, essentially.
Yeah, right. Top two picks in Superflex are locked in for me. It's Lawrence 100%. And Fields. And yeah. Then the draft starts at three.
Yep. That's when you kind of just look at what you want. Yep.
All right, so Justin Fields. Bears traded up, get pick 11. So, I mean, hey, my stats still might be wrong or might be right. Teams that trade up for a quarterback typically does not end up in their favor. So is he starting right away? Angelo, you're the Bears fan. I'll let you start. I like Andy Dalton. I like the Red Rocket. You know, I always root for a Red Rocket type player.
Have you watched Andy Dalton play recently?
I don't know.
That Red Rocket? He, that girth?
Oh, I think – my man said girth. You can't say that on there. It's a PG-13 show.
My bad.
I don't know, man. I think Fields does start week one because I think the locker room is going to clamor for that, and they're going to want it. The city's going to want it, and I think Nagy has seen – the type of competitor and dude that Justin Fields is. The dude wants to win. The dude, you know, he's that guy that you want in your locker room. I could not have been more thrilled with the pick. He has weapons, man. This is a good Chicago offense. People kind of crap on Nagy, but Nagy is actually a good coach, a good play caller when he has a quarterback. He doesn't have one. He's never had one with the Bears. Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles. I mean, golly. I mean, he's never had the guy to fit his system. People say, well, he had Trubisky. He didn't draft Trubisky. You know what I mean? He didn't do that. That wasn't him. That was John Fox in that regime, right? So I don't know, man. I hope he does start week one. I won't be surprised if he doesn't, but I think he does, like we're talking about with Lance, man. I think he starts the majority of the season. Cause if they want to win and Pace wants to keep his job, they're going to need to win early on. The first few weeks of the season are absolutely massive for Bears fans. Huge.
Now, Allen Robinson has been absolutely quarterback proof. I mean, he posts numbers. Doesn't matter who's the quarterback. He posts numbers. Does this elevate him or is he basically the same where he's at?
Absolutely, man. I mean, you get this guy an actual NFL quarterback in terms of potentially being high end, that elevates this whole offense. We're looking at what David Montgomery did last year in Chicago too. I mean, people are talking about him as well. He's, you know, RB22. Man, David Montgomery, what he did, that ecosystem for Chicago Bears and their rushing attack last year with how bad their offensive line was, how hurt they were. They called up practice squad guys. People don't understand that. They called up practice squad guys to play on game day. And people's like, well, the schedule was soft. Yeah, the schedule was soft, but the Chicago Bears were the 31st ranked ecosystem for running. Imagine what he can do. All those guys, Darnell Mooney, Dave Montgomery, Cole Kmet, Allen Robinson, what those guys can do with potential top tier quarterback play in Justin Fields, man. I mean, that whole offense is arrows up. If there's guys in your league that are kind of soured on Mooney for some reason, not believing in Cole Kmet, or just really not believing in the prospects of Dave Montgomery being a legitimately good NFL running back, buy them all. I mean, this is one of those offenses, man, that we're gonna look back at this time next year and be like, man, I wish we would have bought more shares of X. Cause I think all these guys are going to have pretty good careers from here on. I think Allen Robinson stays in Chicago because of Justin Fields.
So, but before Derek Brown, I get your input in. I feel like I need to, sorry, my bad, but I just kind of wanted to ask a quick little question. Now, we knocked Brandon Ayuk earlier because he was the only one there. Isn't that the same thing for Robinson? If they get a more competent quarterback who's able to bring Cole Kmet into the offense, DJ Montgomery into the offense, Mooney into the offense, doesn't that bring his value down?
Why would it?
Are you asking me?
It's the same as it's always been with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is a true alpha in terms of target share. That's what he does. He wherever he goes, that is his role because of how good he is. in the short to intermediate areas of the field. That's who he is, man. I mean, I think it makes him better because you know what goes up? Touchdowns. That's what goes up. So that's a good question. I think Darnell Mooney's no slouch either. People don't understand how good that kid is. That kid can be an absolute baller. You know, they add in some field stretchers too in Goodwin and Bird. But you know, a guy that you want to take a look at is Daz Newsome. Anthony Miller might be traded or cut.
He's gonna be cut, man.
I mean, Daz Newsome might open the year in the slot, or at the very least play the first quarter of the season, and then we kind of see those slot numbers go up. But man, I'm excited for this whole offense. But yeah, Allen Robinson remains an absolute perennial buy. Him and Robert Woods are probably the two most disrespected players in fantasy football, man, at the position. So, I mean, both those dudes, perennial buys for me.
I'm going to double down on what Angela is saying here, man. I think Allen Robinson is going to have a Michael Thomas-esque
huge season
this year. Dude is going to be a top five wide receiver. He is going to ball out. The upgrade in quarterback play. No, Andy Dalton is not starting week one. We talked about media stuff. We talked about taking pressure off of guys. That is what they are doing in Chicago. Andy Dalton is the meat shield for Justin Fields. He is not starting week one. Not if Matt Nagy and Pace want to keep their damn jobs. It's not happening. We've seen what Andy Dalton did in a really, really good offense last year in Dallas, and he looked below average. You take him and put him in Chicago, which, yes, the weapons are good, but he can't elevate anything, man. He's a product of a system. He's always been a product of a system. He's a product of a system in Cincinnati when he had great talent around him, and he looked somewhat competent. His skills have eroded to the point where he's not even able to do that anymore. Justin Fields is going to start. What do you want to say? Week one? You want to say week two? He's going to start. And the Chicago Bears actually have an outside chance to win the NFC North.
Yeah, 100%.
Depending on what Aaron Rodgers does and how good the Minnesota Vikings defense is in a bounce back year, getting Daniel Hunter back and a bunch of other pieces, they have a shot to win the NFC North. I'm not even going to be surprised if Chicago goes out there, wins 10 games, 11 games. Two things are going to be the linchpins for that. It's Justin Fields, and it's their cornerback play after Jalen Johnson. So I'm all in on Justin Fields, man. Been there, staying there, going to be there. That dude is the truth. He is awesome. And he is, like, look, we saw Trubisky as a top 12 fantasy point per game quarterback in that first year with Nagy before he lost all of his cojones. Justin Fields could be that dude this year. And people sleeping, man. I'm here for it.
All righty. All right. So 13.5 under game started. I think we're all in agreement that's going to be the over. Passing yards per game, 240.5. We going over?
It's a good line, man.
It's a good line. I'd say a little bit under because I think David Montgomery's going to have a bigger than people project. And I think that rushing attack is going to be not as prolific as it was at the latter point of last year, because it literally was just get the ball out of Mr. Trubisky's hand any way you can. Just get the ball to David Montgomery 30 times and pray the defense holds up. This year, I think it's going to be a little bit different, more of an even split, but I also think that they're going to get Justin Fields comfortable. But I also think Justin Fields makes a really big rushing impact, a really big one.
Yeah, so I'm going to go a little bit under, man.
Slightly.
All right, 22.5 combined touchdowns.
Over.
I think 25.
Yeah.
25? Okay, that's fair. Yeah, 25 is fair. I think even that's a little bit low. I think he can do better than that, especially if he starts more than 13 games a season. I think that's definitely doable. So you guys already mentioned that he's the clear 2-0 or 1-0-2 in Superflex Dynasty Leagues.
I think it's
pretty, no-brainer.
Yeah,
no-brainer.
Pretty no-brainer. No-brainer. I mean, if you take him 1-0-1, too, I mean, I don't even – cool. I mean
– I'm not against that.
I'm not either, I'm not against
that. No, man. Like, I'm here for that.
I think it's a better environment than people give it credit for. And it's a better environment than Jacksonville is currently too.
Yeah. You also have to think about it. The division is mediocre. I mean,
here's the whole thing. If we're talking about all this hate for Urban Meyer, if he really is just a shit coach in the NFL, Justin Fields could be set up to be the best quarterback out of this class easily.
100%, man. 100%.
He should have been the 102. He should have been the 102 over Zach Wilson.
The fact that he fell to
dude, Chicago, the 11. NFL draft gift wrapped it. Like, dude, he was gift wrapped.
Serious?
Dude, Carolina, Denver, those teams bypassing him for what? Teddy B and Freeve. Oh, come on, get out of here. Sam Darnold?
You know what's
no,
funny too?
Baby? What are you doing, man?
You know what this totally says? Jalen Hurts is safe.
Yep.
Our,
That's fair.
I mean,
yep.
Did they pass on Fields? Who? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, to me, was the second best quarterback in this class, prospect-wise. And you
passed. All I heard, Angelo, was go out and trade for more Justin Fields if you got people that are heebie-jeebies.
100%. People are kind
yes.
of, people are scared of Matt. People are scared of Matt Nagy, but I'm like, okay, I look at it ecosystem ranking wise. Back to that, dude, they were a tier two ecosystem with Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. Tier two.
Yep.
But like, and an absolutely trash bag offensive line. We're talking practice squad guys. Sam Mustafa was the saving grace of that season.
Tevin Jenkins is a man child. Tevin Jenkins is a beast. Tevin Jenkins is going to sit there and be like,
animal.
The way that people talk about Wyatt Teller and they talk about Quentin Nelson, people are going to be talking about Tevin Jenkins this season. There are going to be clips out there floating on social media about Tevin Jenkins just destroying and just like pushing dudes into the shadow realm. It's going to happen, man. That dude is nasty. I love it.
I am excited, to say the very least, the Bears fan.
Oh my God. All right. All right. Mac Jones, and then we'll wrap it up. I haven't had dinner yet. I'm kind of hungry. My stomach is asking where the food's at. So let's talk about Mac Jones. Just a quick little pick. I mean, pick 15, everybody labeled this as the dream spot for Mac Jones. They get their Tom Brady-esque type player, yada, yada, yada. I mean, Cam Newton's still starting, right?
For how long? But I don't think it really matters, because look what they did. They went out and got a bunch of secondary and tertiary pieces at the receiver position. They don't have a true alpha, quote unquote, or a guy with you can give a high target share to. They have Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. They're going to run the ball a lot. And they did last year. They did the year before. They are a running football team. I mean, this is also a tier one ecosystem for running. Tier one. Tier three for quarterbacks right now. And there's no really good wide receivers in New England, and they were a tier three ecosystem for receivers right now. So it's like they're built to run the football at this moment in time. I like Mac Jones as a middle to lower tier NFL quarterback. I think he's serviceable. He is a Kirk Cousins type quarterback. Derek Carr, I think, is kind of the ceiling.
Ouch.
But they don't have a lot there in terms of an outside weapon. I mean, they didn't go up and get anybody in the draft. They passed on some guys too. They want to run the football. And I think Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris are the two guys. Those guys are going to split some work. James White. Like, I mean, man, it's just going to be a lot of low A dot stuff. Take their shots at the Aguilar and company. Jacoby Myers is solid in the slot. But yeah, this is a running football team. So even if Mac Jones does start, you're not that excited.
You're talking about N'Keal Harry, number 15, elite wide receiver on the outside. Is not that you, number one?
Oh, boy.
We talk about tight ends and people that are a Popeye's biscuit away. Whew. N'Keal Harry's got like the foot speed of a tight end, man. He should have been a big slot wide receiver from the word go. And Patriots put him on the outside, ask him to win. Can't do it, man.
It was a bad fit, man. I mean, you're talking
about.
It was bad.
It was bad what they asked him to do.
It's like, just because he's not great at the line of scrimmage at all.
No, he's not a separator, man. No. Like, they should just let him go.
He's not a boundary receiver in the NFL. He's just not. So they just totally handicapped him. I mean, they should have put him in a big slot role. Obviously Edelman was there. So it's like, what are you going to do? I hope he plays that role this year, because he was damn fun to watch at ASU. But hey, man, we'll see. I mean, I'm still not sold on any pieces of that offense, not named Jonnu Smith. I mean, that's really kind of it. I think he's going to get a ton of targets, but besides him, it's like he got paid big money.
Starts as long as they win.
I think so too. He gets a shot. They brought him back to give him a chance. I think so.
I agree. I think if they win, then he's going to start, and Mac could sit the whole entire season, if they're winning. And I mean, this team feels like they went out and they filled out their depth chart. They overpaid, but they overpaid to fill out their depth chart. Like, they feel like a team that is going to take like an alpha wide receiver in next year's draft or something. And I'm not a Debbie guy, so I haven't even gone into the prospects.
Sure, no.
But if they could add like an alpha to this offense would look totally different.
Treylon Burks this year. Ooh.
I mean, seriously, if you added an alpha to the rest of this depth chart, even if they were to say trade, and I'm not putting this out there to say that this is going to happen, but if they were to trade for Julio Jones, if that happened, This team and this depth chart would look a whole lot sexier on paper as Kendrick Bourne slotting into a three, Nelson Agholor slotting into a two. You have two tight ends. Like, this team looks like they are a year away, and they said, okay, we're going to go out. We're going to overpay for all right. of our depth chart pieces, fill it out. We're going to get ourselves an alpha, and then maybe Mac Jones is the guy next year. But if they win yeah. games this year, it really comes down to the win-loss column. If they're winning yeah. games, Cam Newton's going to start. Doesn't matter how bad he is. Doesn't matter anything like that. He is going to start. If they're losing, it's Mac Jones.
All right, so over and under 9.5 games.
You said 10?
9.5.
I'm going to go under because I actually think yeah. the Patriots can win a bunch of games this year. Actually, I would take the bet. I think they're like plus 130, 137 over on DraftKings to make the playoffs. I'd make that bet.
Yeah, I'm going to say under for that too. I agree with D. I mean, man, for me, I think it's Cam Newton's not as bad as we think he is too. No. I think he's still got something left in the tank. Bill clearly wants to run a ton of 12 personnel. And that helps Cam a lot, right? He's going to have safety blankets at tight end. Hunter Henry's a damn good player too, right? So yep. I think that they have the offensive environment to make Cam comfortable. So I'm with the fact that I don't think Mac Jones potentially starts at all year one.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. So if that's the case, 1.5 passing touchdown per game. Oh, actually, I wouldn't mind taking the under on this.
Oh, under for if under. Under it's a run first offense. I mean, this is one of those offenses now that is run first as
we're not
it gets
talking we're not personnel. Talking running backs, but Ramondre Stevenson is really the answer for all these questions.
He's a value right now. I mean, still I'm not a big Ramondre.
I'm not a big guy on
but,
him as a
I mean,
prospect,
man.
But he's a massive value right
he's
now.
He's a because what Sony Michel is he going to make it to? Cam.
Sony Michel gets cut and Ramondre's stock is going through the damn roof.
Exactly.
Damian Harris is just a guy, dude. I'm sorry.
I think Damian Harris is a guy. I think Ramondre Stevenson's just a guy. But Sony Michel.
The difference is I think Ramondre can actually catch passes. I don't think Damian.
See, I think that's the thing. That's the difference too is Ramondre has a more prolific skill set. Not prolific at all, but more prolific than Damian Harris. Yeah. So you're going to see, I think, it's going to be pretty volatile, but I think Ramondre Stevenson towards the last quarter of the NFL season will have more value than I think we're giving it credit for. I'm not a big fan of the talent.
No, I'm not either.
But, you know, you could do way worse for a top five rushing ecosystem. This is huge.
Angela, I think Bill got in the draft and he said, oh shit, there's a clone of LeGarrette Blount and Rex
yeah.
Burkhead in the draft. Like there's a guy that's both of these. Oh my God,
yeah.
We can't pass him up. There's
right.
no way.
Yeah. You just saw 247. His eyes went big. He's like, this is not real.
He's like, I get two running backs in one.
Yeah.
It has to happen.
Yeah. His eye lit up when he saw him on the board in the fourth too. So man, I don't know, but that is a weird offense, but I'm taking, they have two good. I mean, they got two good tight ends too. I mean, that's the thing that people are talking about. I mean, that's the best tight end tandem in the league, right?
Yeah. Better NFL offense than fantasy offense. Like, NFL offense, they are going to make a lot of problems for people. Fantasy wise, give me Ramondre, give me Cam, and then give me nobody.
Yeah.
Give me
yeah.
Nelson Agholor and DFS.
Give me
pass that. Bye.
Tough,
bye, baby.
Man.
Yeah. So, over and under 8.5 Tom Brady comparisons, including bonus points for the shirtless shirt picks.
Oh, over.
You mean for the first game?
No, it's going to be all year. It's going to be all year.
Oh, right. Take it over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
It's already happened.
It's per game. Yeah. I'm sure everybody will get tired of that real quick, but ESPN will make sure that we see it another 15 more times, even though. But all right, we're going to have to wrap this one up. Derek, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, check me out on Twitter at @deeper_ffb. You can find my audio content is at Fade the Chalk. So every podcast provider out in the known universe, check us out there with my co-host Adam Pfeiffer. We're rocking 4 to 5 episodes per week. And yeah, all my written content, video content is spread across FTN. It's FTN Fantasy, FTN Bats, FTNDaily.com. Sign up with the promo code FTC. Get 10% off. We got a ton of Dynasty, Best Ball, Redraft, all kinds of things, man. I mean, I'm popping out. Like, I've got my articles. My ranks are going live this week. I've already got my top 50 for 1QB and Superflex that are already live on the site. So, yeah, it's all the things. Thanks again for having me, man. This was a blast. Absolutely.
Hey, hey, whenever you want to hop on, just say it and I will put you on immediately, snap of a finger, and I will have a debate topic ready for you. Angelo, let everybody know.
Man, I appreciate you having me on, man.
Of course.
It's been a ton of fun chopping up with you. But you guys can find me on, you know, Twitter at @Angelo_fantasy, or find me on my website, angeloanalysis.com. Right now, just finishing up rookie profiles. I think Trey Sermon's going to be next. Then we're going to talk about, you know, a little bit about the ecosystem rankings. We talk about those, just dropped those. Those are live starting last week. Those are pretty interesting to me, at least, just looking at how these environments shape up fantasy football wise. But yeah, man, just doing some more of the same, man. Just love diving deep into prospects and analyzing parts of their game. But, thank you guys again, man. It's a ton of fun.
Of course. Now, I do want to mention Angelo followed me back on Twitter, Derek Ignat. I don't want to put somebody on the spot, but it's what happened.
I've been off of Twitter all day, man. I've been working. I've been on the grind. Good Lord.
You know, it'd be that way sometimes. So before we sign off, I'm just going to ask you guys a quick question. Do kickers' lives matter?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Fantasy.
Yes, Angelo? Yes. Okay, good, good. Kickers deserve a spot on a fantasy football roster. I just want to put it out there for all the people that disagree. Other than that, good luck, everybody.